I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict. For every lie they tell, we're going to get in their face and yell two truths.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Christ is
August
king.
Could prove an interesting month for South Africa. We may face a global freezing out. There is increasing pressure for South Africa to arrest Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Putin is welcomed here, and no one is going to arrest Putin.
First of all, do you agree with the White House's stance there that Ukraine should stay away from striking inside of Russia?
I know the Ukrainians are disavowing some of these strikes, but I say more power to them. This is how you take the fight to Russia itself.
And at Nellis Air Force Base, you had the Drag U Nellis on June 17th. Who funded these things, Mr. Secretary?
Listen, drag shows are not something that the Department of Defense supports or funds.
Pentagon leaders have stepped in to stop a drag show scheduled for tomorrow on Nellis Air Force Base. The show in celebration of Pride Month and was approved by Air Force leaders.
By documents investigation, sources telling CNN, federal prosecutors have obtained an audio recording of a summer 2021, meeting where the former president acknowledges he held on to a classified Pentagon document about a potential attack against Iran.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events. No monologue today, folks, because we've got to get into this. More leaks out of the special counsel's office. This is Jack Smith. This relates to the Mar-a-Lago raid. They claim now they got new evidence. Now they got tapes. They've got tapes of President Trump, and they said that there was going to be an invasion of Iran, and Trump saved the entire invasion plans, but it turns out that he didn't actually allow an invasion of Iran. Do you understand? They're saying the quiet part out loud. There was a secret plan to invade Iran and Trump stopped it. That's what this is about. But of course, they're going after him for making sure that he held on to the receipt of it. Well, joining us to explain all of it, we've got Mike Davis from the Article 3 Project. Mike, when you look at this, do these tapes actually change the situation as relates to the Mar-a-Lago raid, all of this stuff that we've seen so far?
Not at all. And as I've been saying since August, Jack, the president is allowed to take his presidential records when he leaves office. That is specifically allowed by the Presidential Records Act. And Congress funds the office of former president. It is very secure. They get Secret Service protection. They have secure compartmented information facilities or SCIFs. They get federally funded staff. They get federally funded office space. That staff gets security clearances. It is specifically allowed that presidents are allowed to take their presidential records. And it does not matter whether the records are classified or not. And that's what people keep missing. Under the Presidential Records Act, it's any document created or received by the president and or his White House staff. So if the CIA sends a classified document to the White House, that is a presidential record, and the president is allowed to take it. Let me give you an example. When President Clinton left office, he had 79 tapes, 8 years of audio recordings of his presidency, including conversations with foreign leaders, highly classified material. And he had this in his sock drawer. And the Obama-appointed judge in D.C. correctly held that when a president leaves office and takes records with him, they are declassified and personal under the Presidential Records Act. And so when President Trump took his records when he left the White House, he's allowed to do that under the Presidential Records Act, and it does not matter whether they're classified or not.
But Mike, hold on. We've got a tape now. Apparently, Trump discusses the classified nature of the documents, doesn't? And you saw this was the lead, and we were clicking through. So we'll go back, and I'm not going to sit and watch CNN, but we will go through the night before, the morning after, and look at the night before, and we'll take a peek at, okay, what were they talking about? This was the lead of every single show on CNN last night. It was covered extensively on MSNBC as well. They're acting like this is the latest gotcha. And I understand that it is a business. It is a business strategy for them. This is marketing. They have this constituency of like suburban wine moms who just love the get Trump. It's like that TV show Succession, which also CNN loved for some reason. The libs loved that show. And they're like, no, this is what it is, because we can't get him in real life. We're going to get him in TV, but maybe we will get him in real life. Do you really think this actually represents the game changer that CNN is trying to make it out to be?
I think the game changer, Jack, is when the FBI got caught with 8 documents that evidence that then Vice President Joe Biden took a $5 million foreign bribe from China and changed American policy. And the FBI covered up for Joe Biden for many, many years. And my former boss, Chuck Grassley, along with House Oversight Chairman James Comer, have the rats at the FBI cornered. And so now that they're cornered and facing contempt, and the FBI is finally admitting that, yes, this document deals with an allegation of a $5 million foreign bribe of then Vice President Joe Biden. Magically, Garland's handpicked special counsel Jack Smith starts selectively leaking out from the Mar-a-Lago probe. So I think that's a big part of the connection. I also agree with you, Jack. Another part of this is that President Trump dared to take on the military-industrial complex when they were marching to war against Iran.
We've got about a minute and a half left. Mike, what else can you tell us about this document, about the $5 million? We haven't seen it, but I'm sure you've heard about it. Your sources on the Hill are impeccable. What are you hearing?
Well, I think when this document comes out, you're going to see a very credible source. This whistleblower is making a very specific and credible allegation that then Vice President Joe Biden took a $5 million bribe, foreign bribe from China, and he changed American policy. And that lines up pretty well with the evidence that we've uncovered so far. And there is a reason that the Biden Treasury Department is hiding these suspicious activity reports, these SARS reports with the Bidens. The walls are closing in on the Bidens. Will anything happen to them? Who knows? If we lived in a fair world, he would be impeached and removed from office, or minimally chased out of office, because we have a clearly compromised president of the United States who has shown in the past that he's willing to take high office and sell it out to our worst enemies for his personal gain.
All right, 100%. Mike, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you got to bounce. Thank you for your time. Look, folks, when we're looking at this stuff, we have to understand, do we have a president of the United States that's actually compromised? I want to see the document. I want to see the background. Stay tuned, but we got a big announcement next.
I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, folks, we need to understand this about President Joe Biden, because these documents, and I'm going to be fair. I've always said, when it comes to one of these accusations, whether it's Trump, whether it's any other Republican, somebody on the right, show me the evidence. So I want to see the evidence. I want to see all the evidence. I want to put this out there. If a clandestine or a confidential human source, CHS, got this information, $5 million on Biden, some kind of bribe, some kind of policy change when he was vice president, lay it all out for me. What was his provenance? Can we see the transfers? Can we see the $5 million? I want to see everything. Show me evidence of the allegations. Because if this is true, how do you not impeach? But I want to switch gears, because we promised this, we teased it earlier this week, we've been teasing it all day. We have the one, the only, my good friend, Scott Pressler, joining us here today, Human Events, who's got and just made a massive announcement. He's going to now tell the Human Events audience that same announcement. Scott Pressler, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jack. Yeah, breaking news as of 1 hour ago. I saw that you already tweeted about it. Thank you. We have announced today that I am coming with Turning Point Action, and the first commitment of the 2024 cycle is we are going to be working together for a $5 million investment in the swing battleground state of Wisconsin, focusing on voter registration, early voting, and building a ballot chasing operation so that when we have our candidate in 2024, that person will be able to win the presidency.
You know, we actually had, we had Tyler on yesterday from Turning Point Action, and we were talking about the micro-targeting, the ballot chase operations, ballot harvesting, drop boxes where it's possible. And I had kind of known that all of this was in the mix, but it was killing me because they said, the ink isn't dry yet. We're going to announce it tomorrow. I'm like, Tyler, come on. I want to tell everybody. But how will you be able to use this investment to build out a structure there in Wisconsin?
Well, everyone knows I've been doing this for a few years and bare bones. I haven't had capital. This is going to be a game-changing partnership with Turning Point Action. Actually having funding that we can have offices in places like Kenosha, a swing county that currently doesn't have an office. And it's going to be about hiring boots on the ground so that we can be at the Wisconsin State Fair this summer, registering voters, getting people to sign up for mail-in ballots, and going to Northwest Wisconsin, where, by the way, in the Supreme Court election, we had 2 feet of snow, talking about the value of early voting, of locking in your votes early for 2024. This is going to be a game changer.
So when we talked to Tyler about this yesterday. We went through this idea of micro-targeting and how that's something that actually can be done today, that we can start already with boots on the ground, volunteers reaching out to people, putting these hours together, also with the technology where possible to be able to plug this all in, because you've got to do the work of actually identifying the voters first. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Well, that's something that people can do right now at this very second. So in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, we have voter registration by party. Now, there are 1.2 million unaffiliated voters in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a closed primary state. So if you're not registered as a Republican, you can't vote for Trump. You can't vote for DeSantis. You can't vote for Vivek Ramaswamy. And so if you go to Early Vote Action, our application that you can download either on iPhone or Android from your Play Store or Google Store, you go to make phone calls and you will have the power to contact right now at this very second unaffiliated voters and do an official straw poll. Hey, my name is Scott. I'm asking, who would you vote for today if the presidential election were held? Biden, Trump, RFK Jr. or DeSantis? And if they indicate to us Trump or DeSantis, we have the opportunity to educate them to go to pavoterservices.pa.gov to change their party affiliation. And that data is going to be so invaluable going into 2024, having that infrastructure in place.
You're exactly right, because Pennsylvania, now I can always speak to Pennsylvania because that's my home state, my home Commonwealth, that in PA, it's a closed primary, which means, and most states are like this, by the way, that means you do not have the opportunity to vote in the primary. You cannot sway one way or the other. You know, we've heard all the great arguments. Oh, I like Trump because of this, this, and this, and other people saying, well, I'm taking a look at DeSantis because I like how he did in Florida, et cetera, et cetera. Great. But if you are not affiliated with the Republican Party, you do not get to actually have a say in that. Only people who are registered are. This is also, and Scott, I know you remember as well as I, the great Rush Limbaugh had actually played his, you know what I'm going to say, his famous Operation Chaos back in 2008 when he was having people in the Rush Limbaugh audience, his massive audience, register as Democrat so they could go and vote for Hillary to keep the fight up against Barack Obama. That's the same exact system that we're talking about here. And that's why it's so important. By the way, not months from now, not weeks from now, right now, you can be doing the work at home. You can download this app, and I would encourage you to do so. Scott, give us the coordinates again for that app. Explain to people how it works.
Sure. So you can go to your iPhone or Android, the Google Store or Play Store, type in Early Vote Action. It's going to show as the icon, it says EVA, and the V is like a check mark, like you're voting. And if you download the application, on the top left-hand corner, you're going to click on these arrows. Then you're going to be directed to a page that says, make phone calls, register to vote, knock on doors, add a contact. And by the way, any contact that you add is going to be saved on there. So you, who have built that relationship, will be able to follow up with that person. But when you click on make phone calls, you're, oh, it's awesome. So that way we're actually relationship building. We're networking. And it's not Jack calling then Scott, somebody else. You are that one. And when you go to make phone calls, it's going to give you 25 unaffiliated voters for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I've already been on there, and it's everyone. It's young people. It's middle-aged. It's older. And you're doing an official survey to ascertain the ideology of that person. And if we find out they're a Republican, boom, PA, voterservices.pa.gov. And right now, the Democrats have an advantage of 467,000 more D's than ours. For context, under Obama, that was 1.1 million. So my goal is to help whittle down that number in states like Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, in preparation for 2024.
Scott, we are up against a break. I don't want to cut you off. Let me hold you over for another segment, because this is so much important. This is the information that everyone needs to know. And we're back here. Scott Pressler is detailing the $5 million investment, $5 million partnership with Turning Point Action that he was able to do. Charlie Kirk, Tyler Boyer, who we had on yesterday, putting that all together. This is key. And by the way, so folks know, if you go to turningpointaction.com right now, there's also going to be the conference of the Turning Point Action Conference coming up later in the summer. It'll be this July down in West Palm Beach. Everyone from the entire country is coming. President Trump will be speaking there. You must come to this action conference. In fact, Turning Point has actually decided to not hold the traditional Student Action Summit. They've turned the entire thing over to action. And Scott, I think that's testament to you and the work that you've been doing and just the drum that you've been beating. Sometimes the only voice out there in the wilderness reminding people about these special elections, these registrations. And I think we've reached the breaking point where now even, I think every mainstream candidate is now embracing this.
Thank you. Well, and I'm proud to announce, Jack, breaking as well, that I will be a confirmed speaker at the Turning Point Action Conference on July 15th as well. And this is all about action, boots on the ground. This is getting out the vote. And so what is the pathway forward? How are we actually going to win? Here's what we need to do in states like Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia. We need to register new Republican voters. And in Wisconsin, I saw a statistic that 40% of hunters, Second Amendment voters, are not registered to vote. We need to get them on the voter rolls. Number Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Arizona, this is conversion from unaffiliated to Republican. Next, we need to get low propensity Republicans to vote by mail, because if they're not going in person, well, let's have their ballot shipped to them. Let's do ballot chasing and make sure that that paper ballot is locked in. Next, we need to do an education campaign on the importance of early voting and why we need to lock in every single vote, because the Democrats vote for weeks and Republicans vote for 12 hours. We need to also engage with the Amish community. Oh my gosh, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, New York. We have all of these Midwestern states that we have a healthy Amish community that we need to be engaging with. Because, for example, we turn out those 80,000 Amish in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. That is the election right there. Doing faith coalition building, Second Amendment coalition building, boots on the ground, and opening up offices in key swing battleground areas like Kenosha, engaging in Waukesha, Washington, Ozaukee, Northwest Wisconsin. That is how we're going to win, Jack.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Kenosha. So I've actually spent a good deal of time there for a completely separate issue, as everybody I'm sure remembers. the riots of 2020, and Kyle Rittenhouse. This, of course, took place in Kenosha. Kenosha was an area which, if I remember, they actually flipped red just very recently. It had been blue, but then flipped red in response to that crime, in response to the lawlessness, in response to the insanity. And one of the reasons that all of the prosecution was going after Kyle, they were trying to make him the face of all of it, as if he's the one that was looting the town and marauding through the town and burning down the town. No, it wasn't. It was people that most largely, by and large, came up from Chicago. And so the people of that area saw it and they decided they wanted to switch. But I would take what you're saying and bring that up a second point. You've got to be able to go to those people and say, this is how you do it. You've got to lay it out for them. In key areas of these key states, the Democrats have worked, Bill Evers, when he was governor, he still is governor, they changed the laws, and they changed the laws to make it easier for their activists to get out and vote. Because guess what? They're a generation ahead of us. You are the one actually fighting fire with fire.
Well, and let's concentrate very briefly. Everyone's talking about 2024. With all due respect to winning back the presidency, this is an important year in 2023. I live in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We have every seat in the state legislature up for election this year. That's every seat in the state Senate and House of Delegates. And as you remember, in 2021, we won the governorship with Glenn Youngkin. Let's give Glenn Youngkin a legislature that he can work with by holding the House of Delegates and flipping two state Senate seats this November, and then we will control all three levels of government. Kentucky flipping the governorship this November, Louisiana flipping the governorship this October, Pennsylvania winning a state Supreme Court seat. And if we do win that, the Democrats will only have a very narrow 4-3 majority on the state Supreme Court. Also New Jersey. We have an opportunity. If we flip six state assembly seats in the House, we will be able to block Democrat Governor Murphy from passing reckless legislation. And last, we cannot forget about Mississippi. Yes, it's been traditionally a Republican state, but we must hold that governorship this November. And those are our priorities moving forward in 2023.
Oh, that's so important. And as you're focused on those states that you just outlined, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Mississippi, you're doing the same work that you'll be able to then just roll over into the presidential year either way, because guess what? It's the same voters, it's the same towns, it's the same areas, it's the same action leaders. When you identify super volunteers, when you can find them, they pop out of the woodwork. You find people that want to, and this is how I got started in politics in Pennsylvania, that you find the people that are willing to put in the time, that are willing to come in and make phone calls, willing to go knock on doors on a Saturday morning. Those are the people that you identify in, you know, what you would consider, quote unquote, an off-year election, but you have time to ramp it up. We got 90 seconds left. Scott Pressler, what do you want people to focus on most importantly here in this year?
I'm so thankful for my election integrity people that want to do electioneering on election day. And I'm thankful for the people that want to engage in legal ballot harvesting and ballot chasing. But both of those things can't happen unless an election is ongoing. If you want to win, I ask you to join me, please, in spending your time from now until next year, before October, registering new voters, educating people on the value of early voting. Get as many people that you can, low propensity voters, on the mail-in voter list. And if we do those things, we are going to be building that infrastructure that whoever our Republican candidate is in 2024, that person will actually have the chance to win, because we currently don't have that infrastructure. Amen. And I'm proud to be partnering with Turning Point Action.
Amen. Thank you again, Scott Pressler. The persistence, ladies and gentlemen, the persistence. Make sure you go follow him. Go follow Early Vote Action. This is the key to the fight if you want to win back our country. But stay tuned, because we've got another piece of the fight next. Folks, I want to take a real quick second to tell you about our partnership with Blackout Coffee. Blackout Coffee is what runs this show here at Human Events. It's running the office. It's actually kind of running my family right now, because we got a little bit of jet lag after travel. And so when you come in with Blackout Coffee, this is what gives you the energy to keep going, to keep firing on all pistons, to stay high energy. And the folks over at Blackout Coffee, if you go to blackoutcoffee.com/poso right now, you can receive and obtain 20% off your first order with promo code POSO20. So make sure, I know it's usually the other one, but we're using promo code POSO20 right now to get your 20% off your first order. That's a huge deal. I want you to try this stuff. You're going to love it as much as I do. Another thing I loved recently was a piece in the Wall Street Journal that I read with the headline, 2024 Presidential Candidates Against the Administrative State. And it's amazing to me that this idea, this concept of the deep state, the permanent state, the constant state, that this has gotten so mainstream. I remember it used to be people would say, oh, that's Alex Jones. That's, that's InfoWars stuff. That's all over. And I said, like, well, what if they're actually describing something that's actually true? Did you ever consider that? Well, it turns out there is a permanent state. And believe it or not, our next guest, James Bacon of Project 2025, is explaining how Trump, DeSantis, and even RFK Jr. are breaking this down all for us. James, really excited to have you on.
Thank you for having me, Jack. It's great to be here.
Now, James, you were in the Trump White House and you experienced this firsthand. We actually have a really quick clip of President Trump earlier today describing this situation. Let's play it, guys.
Now that the Durham report has come out,
yeah,
and shows all of the abuses that the FBI and the Justice Department,
yeah,
had, when you become president on day one, what are you going to do to restore the respect for the FBI and our law enforcement back into this country that it once had?
It's so fair a question. And you know, the FBI has, and you have a lot of great people in the FBI, but the FBI has taken hits like in history like they haven't taken. And look, I'm a victim of it. They've come after me. They've come after me on many things, all debunked. The Mueller report, the fake dossier. How about the dossier, which was written up by the Democrats, all fake stuff.
So, James, that was today. That wasn't something from like 2016, 2017. That was today in Iowa. This voter, I don't know who he was, but he's waiting there to meet President Trump. He's out on the campaign trail. His very first question was about the administrative state.
Yes, this has become the central issue of the 2024 election, because voters know that unless you deal with the deep state and reassert the president's control over it, there's no guarantee that any presidential policies will get done. So with the Twitter files coming out, with the Durham report coming out, we found that the president does not control these executive agencies nearly to the degree that FDR did when he and Congress created our modern government. And so it's funny how they always accuse Trump of undermining democracy by wanting to assert his agenda. It's actually the deep state that is the fundamental antithesis of democracy, because our system is supposed to function with elected representatives implementing their policies. But when the elected president can't even control the executive branch, that's when our democracy is dead.
Well, you're exactly right there, because this is the idea, and you saw this throughout the Trump administration, that the Mueller investigation, which was kicked off by the Comey firing. So you fire Comey, who's part of the administrative state, but then all of a sudden you get this pathogen response to it, where the firing of Comey then tees up an even bigger investigation. A special prosecutor is launched. And I've noticed that President Trump, when people bring this up, they say, why don't you just fire this guy? Why don't you just fire that guy? It's like they're missing the entire situation of what actually happened when he tried to fire somebody who was protected by the administrative state. But let me ask you this question. What is the sense on the left? Because that was what was so interesting to me. I think on the right, we kind of get this at this point because we've been living it for so many years now. But what is your sense on the left with RFK actually bringing this up? This is something where, you know, I want to say there's the, sort of like the, it was the Bernie Sanders coalition. It was the anti-war coalition. Folks like Jimmy Dore who are out there speak to this. Do you think it's reached a parity point yet? Because, of course, MSNBC, CNN will never acknowledge this.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of intersection with the populist left on these issues. Everyone can agree that our government is captured by special interests. So what RFK is concerned with is from like a left-wing environmental perspective, basically how our EPA is completely captured by the corporate establishment. HHS is completely captured by the medical establishment. The Pentagon is completely captured by the military-industrial complex. Now, these are issues where the populist right and populist left align on. So if we don't get this under control, there's even a recognition that RFK Jr. with his populist agenda would not be able to accomplish anything.
Well, of course, and RFK has come out there quite emphatically, I would say, talking about how this very system that he is described is or may have played a role in, I'll just say, the tragedies that his family has experienced in the past. We've got about 60 seconds left here before the break. But James, do you think that we've reached a point where we actually can fight back and win?
Yes. Trump exposed all of this and made this mainstream. It used to be a very obscure fact that only people in Washington, D.C. knew. The joke is in Washington that you're supposed to go along to get along with the bureaucracy. If you're a political appointee, you're not really going to make inroads into the administrative state. You're supposed to just let the career civil servants produce the policy, and you're supposed to tinker around the margins, maybe make little changes here and there. And we get the joke now, but we don't think it's funny. And that's why we're prepared this time to go in and change it.
No, that's absolutely right. Folks, go and follow James Bacon Project 2025 over at Heritage. You are putting out the most important information that we can on the administrative state, as well as go read this piece in the Wall Street Journal. I read it every single word, cover to cover. Print this one out and send it to people, and particularly because it's open to people on the populist left.
Evelyn, stop buzzing in my ear about the boring people at your office. I'm trying to listen to the news.
And we're back here at Human Events. And this piece that's written, the Wall Street Journal, James Bacon wrote it. He goes through how, now look, of course we know President Trump has talked at length, at great length, about what he would do to try to dismantle this federal Leviathan. But yet we're also hearing this from Governor Ron DeSantis, who said it in his Twitter Spaces launch that he wants to reconstitutionalize the executive branch, bring the administrative state to heel. Vivek Ramaswamy has a proposal to eliminate all civil service protections. Of course, we've also heard about Schedule F from President Trump. His executive order was for that in October of 2020. And then also, and this is what is so interesting to me, RFK Jr., who's running as a Democrat, not running as an independent, and there are sour grapes laws, which or sore loser laws, which do mean that you can't go in and then register as a Democrat or register as an independent and then try to get on the ballot again. He's been telling people, taking the famous or infamous quote from his uncle, take the CIA and shatter it into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. That is extremely tough talk. James, do you actually believe that a president with Congress can get this done?
Because imagine the deep state as a pack of alligators that Congress is obsessed with feeding. Congress is the biggest mechanism for empowering the deep state, and they will fight you tooth and nail if you try to do civil service reform. So the good news is the Civil Service Reform Act of 1978 gives the president most of the tools they need to reform the bureaucracy. So you don't actually need Congress to make the most major changes. What you do need is the right team. So there's 4,000 political appointee positions that the president gets to fill. All of those appointees must be aligned with the president's agenda. Loyalty first, expertise second. The career bureaucracy has all the expertise you need. There's no shortage of that. You need loyalty first and foremost. And that's what we're preparing to do at Project 2025 at Heritage. You know, President Trump didn't have the institutions made up of America First conservatives to go in when he entered his administration. So he had to rely on these establishment Republicans that want to get along with the administrative state. We're trying to fix that. So what we're doing is we're recruiting conservatives from across the country. You can apply at project2025.org, hit the big apply button, because we're going to be ready to take DC by storm in 2025 with grassroots conservatives. We're training these appointees, we're sorting them into positions. We want to be ready to hit the ground running in 2025.
So that's actually amazing. No, I remember the history of that time. I remember the the different list, the plum list, and these different things that were out there. There was that, you know, that votes they had actually set up a resume center on the Trump transition website, but then a lot of that got kind of gummed up, and there were people, and I'm just going to say it, there were people who got into that process and then got rid of those resumes because they didn't want, it was greatagain.gov, I believe, and Great Again was, it was destroyed. They round filed it. What does round filed mean? They threw it in the trash. There were thousands of people who applied, many of which were extremely loyal, had fantastic resumes, impeccably credentialed, as you would say. And there were people in DC who wanted President Trump to fail that destroyed that entire database. And so what you're doing, and it's so admirable, is taking the time to put together the work. And so you're doing this under the auspices of Heritage, but essentially it's for whatever the next administration is. Is that right?
That's correct. So it's for whoever becomes president on the conservative side. But you're right. Not a single person was hired from greatagain.gov. So this is the answer to the establishment's takeover of the Trump administration's personnel in 2017. You know, the old presidential personnel office, I tell people a lot of the time they weren't trying to undermine the Trump administration, but they were DC Republicans and they were hiring who they know. They were hiring their friends. These aren't people from outside of DC who believed in Trump's 2016 agenda of draining the swamp and restoring people into control of our government. These people have the DC agenda. So Project 2025 is the answer to the establishment undermining the Trump administration in 2017.
No, I think this is perfect. I think Project 2025, we need to be able to put stuff like this forward. We need to be able to take, and by the way, if there are people who were from the prior administration that want to come forward, that are still willing and able to do this, if they're loyal, because you've seen a lot of these guys now that are out just bashing. John Bolton, great example, someone who's out there completely. Now, by the way, John Bolton is not a guy that I would consider for rehiring to begin with. This is a guy who out there, he is today calling, he was on CNN, he's calling for increased strikes, not on Russian forces, but actually within Russian territory itself. He's saying, even the Ukrainians, by the way, haven't come out and agreed to this, but he hasn't found a war that he doesn't like. He's saying, you know, we need to invade Iran. This is, of course, why they're leaking on Jack Smith. Is leaking on President Trump. So they wanted to invade Iran. He wouldn't let them do that. They wanted to invade Syria. That was McMaster. He wouldn't let them do that. And then John Bolton, who just wants to invade everybody, and he wouldn't let them do that. Plus, he's insane. And Pompeo had this idea about regime change down in Venezuela and this whole thing with Juan Guaido and Maduro. It was a joke. It was a complete joke. I've got about 90 seconds left. James, tell people again where to go to sign up for Project 25.
Yes, it's project2025.org. Hit the apply button, fill out the questionnaire. We're going to get all of you into DC, God willing, in 2025. I also want to say this. With all these candidates competing and saying they're going to drain the swamp, how do we actually know who's going to do it? You know, Trump did a very interesting thing in 2016 when he released his list of conservative judges that he would pick from, sort of to tell social conservatives, I will pick conservative judges. Imagine if Trump did something similar now and said, this is who I'm going to pick for my cabinet. This is who I'm going to pick for my White House. I think that saying who your team is going to be is the absolutely essential and most important thing you can indicate to show that you're going to take on the deep state. So that would be my advice.
I couldn't agree more. I think getting that out there is important. James, thank you so much for your words. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your time, both inside and now outside of the administration, serving your country and making America great again. Folks, we need to understand that we are up against an administrative state that's been there for a century. If we are not actually willing to do the work of getting the people there, we have to understand personnel is policy. Folks, we know that stuff is getting crazy out there. We know that when we're talking about the potential for a two-front global conflict, we're already in a proxy war in Ukraine. Is there a possibility that we get into another proxy war or, God forbid, active kinetic warfare with the Chinese Communist Party in Taiwan? The world is headed for crisis, but you don't have to have your family unprepared. One of the ways to do this is to go to My Patriot Supply. At My Patriot Supply, you can now receive a special deal when you buy a 3-month emergency food kit, which lasts up to 25 years in storage. By the way, some people put these in their trunks of their cars because, look, how many people are doing a road trip this summer? You're going to get in the car, you're going to put the kids in the car, you're going to head somewhere, you're going out, you got a great plan, whatever it is. But you know what? Something goes wrong with the car, God forbid, again, you want to have food in your trunk. That's what we do. So just get one, throw it in the trunk of your car. It's simple. With each kit you order, you now get a bonus package of crucial survival gear worth over $200 for free. The folks at My Patriot Supply are waiting right now to take your order because even though we don't know what could be going on out there, we know that you can be ready. Look, folks, there's a lot going on in the world. Okay, today's the first day of is it Pride Month or is it the month that we're just going to be normal? You know, I gotta say, it doesn't feel like, all right, might get mad, people might get twisted. Don't get it twisted when I say this. It kind of feels like I'm not seeing as many corporations push the Pride stuff as much this year than I have in years past, certainly the past couple of years. It almost feel like the Bud Lighting, Target, the LA Dodgers, which is yet to happen, by the way, and we're still going to have to just stay tuned on that one. It doesn't feel as though it's been as widespread as it's been before. And keep in mind, even Target, and Benny Johnson had the scoop, Target pulled their Pride stuff. They put it in the back because they didn't want to be the next Bud Light. But you know what? Target stock is way down. And I say, you know what? Bring even more. Continue the fight. When they are on their back foot, that is when you advance. That is when you have to actually move and take ground in the culture war. Now, there was this whole thing out of the Daily Wire earlier where they were saying they were going to play What is a Woman on Twitter, and then they were claiming that they had been banned from Twitter from playing it because of misgendering, because of, and they had a couple scenes in the movie, etc. And they were saying that Twitter had backed out of the deal. Elon Musk has come out on Twitter now and stated, we're just seeing this in the last couple of minutes, actually breaking news as the show is on, they are now moving to be able to show that. He said this was an error, so that will be on tonight. Happy Pride, What is a Woman? What else is going on? Oh boy, guys, unfortunately, we've got to reset the clock again. Days since Joe Biden fell down. President Biden just tripped and fell during the Air Force Academy graduation ceremony visit, was helped up. He's been assisted. We've got the video of this. He's got a blue hat on. Oof, not great. Joe Biden is our Yeltsin. He is the Boris Yeltsin at the end of a long string of these neoliberal, progressive, globalist types. President Trump was the aberration to all of this. But they brought up Joe Biden and they put him there because, again, he's not the guy calling the shots. He isn't the one who's actually in charge. The people in power are the ones propping him up like Weekend at Bernie's. And I know there's a lot of question out there about will Michelle Obama get in the race? Will Hillary Clinton? Of course, they want to get in the race. Absolutely, Hillary Clinton wants to get in the race, and she will if she can. But when Gavin Newsom said that he wasn't going to run, we know that that means they're going to push Biden again. Hillary would love to. Hillary feels like it was stolen from her. But that's not actually the case, is it? Because in a sense, it was stolen from her by the American people. And when we look across the landscape, if we want to take our country back, we have to take our elections back. But that means taking matters into our own hands, because you know what? Nobody is coming to save us. No one is going to come and swoop down from the rafters and say, you know what? We're the A team and we're here to save you. No, you have to save yourselves. We all have to save ourselves. That's why Turning Point Action is now proudly partnering with Scott Pressler. $5 million down. And that's just to start, by the way. That's just to start. So when you come down to the Turning Point Action Conference, July 15th, West Palm Beach, make sure you are there, because we will be giving you the tools and we're going to have Scott Pressler lead this. This is going to be a workshop. This is a working group. You are not coming down just for fun. You're not coming down just for rah-rah. Hey, we're all conservatives. We like America, et cetera, et cetera. No, that's all fun, but it's not time for fun and games anymore. We don't have time for fun and games. Now is the time for action. Now is the time to put in the work. I want to thank you guys for watching Human Events. Make sure that you are subscribed to us on the podcast side. Make sure you're subscribed on Rumble. Make sure you're getting this so that you can get it and share it out with everybody. Because we know we don't have a lot of time left. We do not have a lot of time left. The rise of BRICS, the weakening of the United States, the rise of China around the world. This is all happening. All of these things are happening around us on a regular basis. We can feel U.S. weakness breaking. And if you do not have a president who can keep all of this in line, well, now we know. Now we know why. We think, oh, is it just because Joe Biden is soft? Do we think it's just because he's weak? And then we have information that the FBI has known all along from the time where he was vice president. And I want you to understand that. I want you to internalize this. They've had this information. Oh, by the way, I'm told that we've had the video of the fall. Is this bad? Let's take a look. Let's take a look. Here we go. I'm seeing this. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. I'm seeing this now for the first time. That was no laughing. That's a serious fall. That's a serious fall. And this may have been, I have to go back and watch it again, but this may have been the ankle that we know he had hurt his foot early on in the presidency. I don't know. That may have been the same side. He's got a weakness on that side. So say a prayer for our devout Catholic commander-in-chief, President Biden. Hope that he gets well. And maybe, just maybe, he could resign and go home, and then we could get a real president, even though, of course, the current vice president isn't very much of one. Folks, this is what happens when America does not have strong leadership. We're a laughingstock at home, we're a laughingstock abroad, and I guarantee you that video is going to be played everywhere. Take your country back. The time to take action is now.